That'd be great. But yes, I'll talk about all of our wives and the partnership. And this goes back to early days. Last night, Amy Upshaw was here. Mm-hmm. And Amy and my wife, Julie, and Sarah Samoff met together with one other gal from the seminary who was a member at MCC Saturday nights on campus. And they would pray together on Saturday nights regularly for worship on Sunday and so forth. And just the partnership that engendered. And my wife is incredible. She loves you. She prays for you. She connects so many of the good things about our church, just as well as these guys up here. I mean, anything good of our church, I think their fingerprints are on it, and our wives, too, and their commitment and time sacrifice. So I think about Julia and my wife over the years and what they have contributed and looking out for people, not just meals, but trying to connect, stay organized. One of my wife's gifting is organizations, and it helps in a church. If there isn't a structure, then there's not going to be as many possibilities for people to plug in, to use their gifts. And my wife's excellent at that, and Julia helps with that. And as well, Andrea Herter, all that she does, Kathy Noble, Julie Yates has sacrificed over the years immensely, Rachel Singleton to give Brandon and Sky time to work around here and so forth. So it can't be overstated, the sacrifice that you ladies have made. And this is important in a day when it seems like much of the conversation right now, and I don't want to make this too much of a comment on this, but if a woman isn't in a preaching role on Sunday, then women aren't significant at all in a church. That is some of the conversation right now. And I don't advocate that position, but I think anyone hanging out at MCC over the years would recognize that women play a significant role in our ministry, and the kind of connectivity that we have is directly resulted to the women of our church, and not just in social activities, but prayer, commitment to God's word, and so forth, and every one of the wives here. Maybe Luke.
I would just add that without our wives, there would be total dysfunction. It would be a train wreck. So we need you so much, and it's can't be understated or overstated or however stated that without the wives there'd be nothing happening. Of significance, because we need so much help.
Thank you, Kelly. You oversee our outreach season, and one thing that has been a huge encouragement to me, and I think just for the overall health of this body, is this past time when we did a one-time offering for the two groups that we were sending out. We ended up fully funding you guys, where you didn't even have to go and do any more funding of yourselves. Can you explain just maybe how you were feeling? Sometimes I wonder how you're feeling, because you're not that emotional. Last night was like a rare moment. I loved it. But just explain how you were feeling, if you were just overwhelmed, just what you were thinking, and then how much that meant to y'all as you're getting ready to go out. How much does that just invigorate you to even want to go even more?
Yeah, I praise the Lord for it, because I'm the outreach leader, and it's a very easy job to encourage you guys towards outreach, because you all have a heart for that, and the demonstration of that through finances and those givings was just evident, makes it shine brightly that God is in this, God is part of this, and He wants us to be doing these things. And we all feel it. We all know that these trips and these activities that we do, that they're not just for our name and our sake and our adventures or whatever, but you see God's purposes and God's reasoning behind it. And I praise the Lord that MCC, as far as I've always been here, has always had that heart. For such a small church, we do financially support a lot of missionaries in my history of being here, and so it's always been a very pleasing and thankful that MCC's heart for outreach and being able to be a part of that. So that giving just was another demonstration of that to me and God's faithfulness through his people.
Looking forward, just outreach and MCC, is there anything in particular, just vision and what you are hoping to accomplish or hoping to see in this body?
I'm excited for what potential there is with MCC. As more people come, more bodies are able to do more work, as the workers are few, but they are growing. And so I'm so thankful for that. We have, in the last 4 years, I know that a lot of my heart has been for the nations and international stuff, but partnering with Refuge KC, which still has an international feel to it, but it's here in KC, and more partnerships like that, local, I think is going to be great, where even more people hopefully will be able to get involved, because that's what's encouraging for me, is seeing other people doing outreach, and it encourages me in my outreach. I have a heart for it and experience with it, but still that drive to go can whack some points, and seeing people's heart to serve their own down there in Project Patricia and serving in those ways is an encouragement to me. We've done Turner Days before in the past, and seeing Clarence out there, just his natural heart for talking and sharing, it emboldens me. So I look forward to seeing all of us being able to use the gifts, as we're all called to share the good news, whether it's here or there or wherever it is, in our workplaces, in our neighborhoods, and so continuing to see that thriving and growing.
Thank you, Kelly. Pastor Allen, you have been an elder for how long now?
2 years.
2 years, 2017, January or February, I think.
Okay, 2 years, and you are the leader of a community group.
Yes.
Correct.
Yes.
Can you just speak to, that seems to be one of the big things just in what makes us who we are, and keeping two of the big words that stood out to me yesterday were family, fellowship, relationships, things like that. Community was another big one. Can you explain the importance of small groups and maybe how that's impacted your own life, and then also just the health of this body and just who we are?
I would have to agree with the need for small group ministry. In a large church, it's impossible to reach people without it, I would think. In our church, it serves in a similar way, but it just seems more intimate because we know each other and desire to be available to help each other. So I appreciate the need for the small groups. I appreciate the interest that the people in the groups have to further advance the kingdom by seeing that we all advance and grow. So it's not just the leaders, it's the members of the group.
That's good. One thing that really encourages me, I often hear people, and I'm sure some of the younger saints here, you hear people that say, you know, like, I'm so encouraged to see young people just walking with the Lord, on fire for the Lord. But one thing for me as a young person, I get real excited to see older saints who are on fire for the Lord and not just retiring both in their occupation and in their faith. And so what has really driven you, and you're retired, I mean, you could kick back, go to the beach and play golf every day. What makes you come back to a church like this and serve faithfully when the world would say you can retire?
I don't know how many good years Kathy and I have left. I have a sister-in-law who's a few years older than us, and she's not doing well. And I just want to, and it was on my mind when we moved here, I just want to be used by the Lord for the good years I have left. And that's what drives me, because I don't know how long it's going to be. So I'm thankful for the opportunity.
Thank you, brother. We appreciate you. Pastor Todd, looking back on you, you have done a bulk of the preaching and the teaching ministry. Has there been a particular book, particular sermon that stands out to you just in your years of teaching and preaching where it just came at a timely manner, or just anything that stands out in that type of ministry?
Probably the sermons that Pastor Adam or Brandon or Luke preached. You, Travis, Jake. Preaching this many years, I think I've said it before, but a couple of reflections. One, it does seem wherever I'm at, I am, this is the favorite book. So yesterday, I had a little time in the morning, and I'm just scanning through 2 Chronicles, and I began to just scout out the next 2 years, the preaching calendar. So you're busy. So are you. And but from 2 Chronicles into what I want to do next, which I need to talk with the elders about first, but I kind of have this mapped out. So just scanning through 2 Chronicles. We're in 1st now. We'll get to 2nd. And how 2 Chronicles ends so positively. And it just gripped me. 2 Chronicles. I mean, you'd think Romans, right? And that's true. But wherever I'm at, I think that's just true for a lot of preachers because it's the Word. So wherever I'm at, it just grips me. And it's not me. It's just that it just grips me. Let me just reflect a couple of notes. I mentioned it last night, preaching through Genesis and then Galatians. I think at that time, so this is 2002, 2003, I began to really learn how to preach, which means I wasn't just preaching a New Testament letter like Colossians or something and doing systematic theology every week. So every paragraph, sort of just whatever systematic theology was there, God's greatness, God's goodness, God's glory, you know, something like that. You could preach those all the time. But seeing how books fit together, and Alan Tomlinson was extremely influential to Brandon, to all of us at that time. And I began to understand that and apply that even in Genesis and see how Genesis fit together as a whole and Galatians. And once that happened, this is 2002, 2003. By the time we got to 2005, there's a whole storyline grid working in all of our minds. We had long conversations that were deep theological conversations about how the Bible fits together. And that was some related to preaching. So I've shared this with students at the seminary. That was a hard time for our church, and it birthed a grid of thinking in all of us and a project that I've written. And sometimes hard times in churches birth something that God is going to do. And it's I think the best theology comes from real experiences and relationships, and I think that that can be said with SS. So looking back, I think those were critical years and critical books that we were gripped by God's word together, not just me, but together. This is how the Bible fits. And if we don't follow this kind of a pattern, we follow a different one, church looks different. And I think Brandon could comment on that even more so. I don't know if you want to jump in.
Yeah, I'll comment on that. As Todd said, those books and those years just had a tremendous influence on me. It just really rocked my world in terms of my thinking. You heard some people here yesterday talking about how when they came to Masters, they were looking for these certain things and found something else. And that was me. Looking back, you know, I was looking for some certain things, and little did I know that I had a lot more to learn than what I thought I needed to learn. Or just be taught, or just sort of lock arms with people in a certain way of thinking theologically. God had a lot to teach me, but yeah, Dr. Tomlinson and seeing Ephesians, we've looked at this over and over again through the years, but it's just so fascinating to see the centrality of community, a local church, and and how that leads to and fosters so many different things. All these ministry emphasis that we have are very interconnected. Yeah. And just be able to experience that and you know, we talk about these things, community, this thing we've heard about the last couple of days. I'll never forget one of the early renditions of our website. That was a big change in those years, and I helped to work on that, and these guys contributed with some of the content. And one of the things that I think maybe Todd had written about fellowship at the time was that not only that we're a community, but we're a working community. And I've never forgotten that. And that's just been huge. And I think that's one of the distinguishing marks of our church, that no one's here just to come and just get. We're here to work together, and that's been a wonderful thing to experience. So,
speaking to that a little, another common theme I heard last night was how the leaders here, how you have a way of spotting people's gifts and putting them in a position to where they can use those to build up the body. And so because honestly, when I thought elder ruled and elder led before I came here, I just thought, man, that's just elders. They're basically doing everything, and then we just, the congregation, have to do it, you know, follow them. But y'all are not that. It's actually the complete opposite. You lead, but you see people's talents and you give them abilities, give them places to maximize those. How did y'all come about as that? Is that just always been natural? What inspired that? Can you speak to that, anybody?
I believe that Pastor Todd sets the example for us. And I believe that he is interested in every individual who comes through those doors, and he sets the example. And I want to say another word about Pastor Todd, which is not directly related to your question, but I want to say that I have never worked under a pastor who set a better example for how to be a pastor than Pastor Todd, so I'm very thankful for him.
My life as a believer, and I think just, of course, broadly, everyone, it is a miracle. And I mean that for my life. The word, Luke used the word dysfunctional. I came from a dysfunctional family. I did not become a Christian until I was 23 years old. And so whatever experiences and abilities I had was, it was kind of the trial by fire thing where I was thrown into the wolves, so to speak, and put to work right away. I didn't perceive myself as having any kind of gifting spiritually. I led music for a little bit and stuff like that, but it was Pastor Ron and Pastor Todd seemed to glean something from this inadequate thing sitting before you, and asked if I would consider going into an internship. And I mean, to this day, I don't think I'm really adequate to be any kind of an elder, be called a pastor. When I'm called Pastor Adam, I love it. It's great. I love the kids especially. It's awesome. But I don't feel like a pastor. He's a pastor. I'm just a guy that's... you asked about gifting and putting people in the right place. I kind of just felt like this was a need that had to be met, and I was willing to jump in. And I've kind of felt like that no matter what it was. And there were these times throughout our history where it was very thin, not only just people, financial resources and other things, that it was a matter of, this may not be your gifting, but the work has to get done. And so that's kind of how I always approached ministry in that way. So answering your question more directly, when I perceive a gift in somebody, usually it's because they actually mentioned something about this thing or this thing or this thing, and I pick up on it right away. It's my antennas are up for what and sort of in mercenary fashion, if you say anything about singing or playing an instrument, you're a candidate for the chorale. And so, you know, and so...
Yeah, we also do a choir at Christmas time,
yeah,
so...
Yeah, that's right, so...
No, I'm looking at those things, too, you know what I mean?
And so that's what, yeah. So I'm listening to people and hearing what they're interested in, or any words that are just a clue. It I got a flag in my mind for that person wherever. So
I want to share something on this. Watching it happen from, I guess, the sidelines, or whenever we see and hear all of the things that are taking place among the body at MCC. My perspective is that you can't kind of have this goal of let's have everybody involved in the church sort of using their giftings. You can't start there, but what I've seen happen is that when you delve into the depths of New Testament teaching of what the church is, 1 Corinthians 12, Romans 12, Ephesians 4, and you understand that, then you've got a church leadership that says, this is what we want to happen. This is what we're going to facilitate. There's lots of models of church. You've got authoritarian pastors who want to run a kingdom. You have people who are so scared to let other people mess up. But here you've got church leaders that are looking at what the New Testament teaches about what is New Testament church, and they're opening the doors. That's what we want, and that's what we want to see. So I'm watching that happen from Indonesia, and I'm just saying, this is amazing what the Lord's doing through this church.
One matter of fact, technique is what Adam alluded to on your applications. If you're a new person here and thinking about joining, you'll be asked where you have served and where you think you can serve. So some of that comes right just from paper and pencil.
I want to just jump in on a couple of those thoughts. One with Pastor Adam, and so Pastor Ron and I, this is like 2001, and we're just, what do we do? You know, all this transition was very hard transition. How can we get unity? How can we get some traction? We just needed, you know, we're climbing an ice mountain. We need a pick in this thing to hold on. And we're talking with Pastor Adam, he'd been leading worship, and we thought about, well, maybe he could serve in some capacity. And every time we talked, he was always wanting to do Bible studies. He's talking about Bible studies, and he's serving people and doing Bible studies. And it's like, and we thought about maybe asking him to be a deacon in some capacity. And he's called, I think, to maybe help us shepherd people with the Word, and just talking with you about that and progressing and seeing God's work in you through your internship through the years, and what a blessing. And just thinking about how to connect people. What Pastor Allen mentioned with the membership applications, it's just normal. Everyone's in it. And just I'll plant a seed here for leaders. And I've mentioned this, I think, over the years, but every week I pray for every person in our church. So Monday I pray through the church bulletin. Tuesday, A through J, your last name's A through J, and all leaders. Every leaders, I try to pray every day for each of you. But then Wednesday is L through M. Thursday, N through S, which I had to extend because we had all these S names. And then Friday, the rest. So every week, I'm trying to pray for every person. So this is just my, before I go to work in the morning, I read and pray, and I'm praying for you. And it's just a few minutes to pray, but I'm thinking about people. And I've shared this with some of you who are leaders outside of a church ministry, but maybe in business. Pray for employees. Get up a schedule. If you're a coach, set up a schedule. We pray for everyone every week so you're thinking about them. And it forces you to, if you lead a division at work, pray for everyone a week. See how the Lord will bring to mind, as you pray the Word, ideas for your business, for your team, for your group. Things are just come to mind. This is the Lord's creative processes. And then go talk with other leaders and see what happens.
Well, last question, if anyone wants to pick up on this, but one way that your view and your idea of who God is, how Masters has shaped that into who you know God to be at this point in your life, that you wouldn't know if you wouldn't have just stuck with this body.
This goes back to what I mentioned last night. I made a comment at this. I remember back to an equipping hour time thinking about prayer, and I had stated that I want everybody to pray because it helps me. And I've said this in other contexts, but the importance of seeing in one another Jesus Christ in you. Paul talks about Christ in you, the hope of glory. And the ways in which, and I mentioned this last night, I can literally, every person in here, I have in my head ways in which you have helped me understand Jesus Christ better. I see Vicky. I mean, her sweetness. I totally not sweet. She loves birds and cats. I'm like, what's the matter with this person? She like, and just all these ways in which various people, various character qualities just come out. And it helps me. I need it. Because I'm a miserable wretch. And I don't know, I'm not just trying to, you know, this kind of, that kind of theology or something. But it helps me to see Christ in them. And I long to be more and more like the Lord in the ways that they show it off.
I'm going to finish with reading Hebrews 13:7. Remember your leaders, those who spoke to you the word of God. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. I think I can speak for all of us that we are extremely grateful to have you all as leaders. And I even want to ask if we could just give them a round of applause just to appreciate, express our appreciation. And ultimately, we know it's God working through you all, and that's what we're even more grateful for. Okay, with that in mind, let's close in prayer, and then we'll transition to main hour of worship. Father, you are way too good to us. We, rebelling against you, turning our back against you, running the opposite way against you, and you have drawn near to us in our rebellion, and united us with your Son. You have transferred us from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of your beloved Son, in whom we are having redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Father, I pray that there will be another 20 years of faithful ministry enabled by your Spirit. God, help us not to just show up to check a box, but would we even in this next hour encounter your presence and be conformed into the image of your Son? Would you give us practical ways to sacrificially love one another, be knit together in love so that we might grow up into Christ, who is our head. Mm-hmm. Christ, we long to see your face. Manifest your glory even among us today as we serve one another. Please be with Luke as he prepares to preach. Give him clarity of mind. Give him clarity of speech. Give him boldness. May you prepare our hearts, rid our minds of distractions so that we might hear your word, savor it, and be changed by it. Father, would you be magnified and glorified through this body? In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.